So today we are in our penultimate session on our ENTI series. So for E we have encounter. For N we have. For T we have training, i.e., you know, what happens on Sunday, what happens in other places, the stuff that you listen to online, getting yourself equipped for what God has for you. And the I stands for influence. It's been an amazing series that we've done. Something that God gave to Andy, and what we believe is the four building blocks of the church. Actually, if we look through Acts, you see encounter, nurture, training, influence. Then that influence then leads into people encountering Jesus, just like Steve was talking about today. So today we're going to have another look at influence. For those of you who were here last week, we had a guy who was one of our young people just a few years ago. I can't remember how many years ago. It's a bit shocked us that it was really that long. And he ministers out in South Africa alongside his wife. And he was in the area, and he said, he's been following Revival Church. I didn't realize quite how closely he's been following us, and which has been great, actually. And so he came along and we said, yeah, come and take the service. And we didn't tell him what to preach on, and he spoke on influence. So I'm speaking on influence, and then Karen will be speaking on influence on 2 weeks' time. And I think God's trying to underline something to us as a body here, that we are called to be people of influence. So can I have my first slide, please, Peter? So what is influence? Influence is the power to have an important effect on someone or something. An important effect, and that can be positive, or it can be negative, but I'll come on to talk about that in a bit. Bit of a newsflash here for everybody. Every single person on the face of the earth has influence. We all have an influence. We all have an impact. It may be quite limited, or it may be very broad, but we all have an impact in our lives. We all have influence. The big question is, what kind of influence are we having? What kind of impact are we having on the world? Is it positive or is it negative? Well, the reality is for all of us, because we are not perfect, it will be mixed. On our best days, we will have more good than bad. And on our worst days, we won't be quite so good. And I'm sure if I was to go around the room and ask everybody here, actually, do you deliberately want to have a bad influence? Well, no, of course we don't. We want to have a good influence. We want to have a good influence in our world. We want people to see Jesus reflected in us. I believe that in this place. That's what people want. So let's have a look at the early church and see the effect and the impact of the influence that they had. We know that at the beginning of the early church, there was tremendous growth. Amazing growth. You know, you read Acts and you just think, yes, God, wouldn't that be incredible? To stand in Billericay High Street and to speak and 3,000 people come to know Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what they were living in. But then something changed. Persecution came to the church. A great persecution. Can I have the next slide, please, Peter? And we're told that there was dispersal. There was dispersal. And in Acts 8, we read this. Now those who were scattered went about preaching. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out from many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. There was so much joy in the city. Each one of those people that were dispersed from Jerusalem, from that tight-knit community of believers, had the potential to bring life. Now, one of those little dandelion seeds does not look very big and does not look very significant. But it has potential to create another plant that can then have more seeds. That is the multiplication of the kingdom. I was walking through Lake Meadows on Friday morning on the way up to the office, and the lake, I don't know if anybody was around Lake Meadows on Friday, it was a very high pollen count, but the lake was covered with dandelion seed heads. It was like a, I thought, what is that on the water? It was like a cotton wool kind of topping on the lake, and it was all the dandelion seeds had obviously been released because the conditions were just right for them. Tiny, tiny, tiny seeds, but amazing potential. Just bear that in mind. We may feel insignificant sometimes and very tiny, but there is huge potential in our lives. So back to Philip. He's in Samaria. The apostles come down to see what he's up to, and the people are filled with the Holy Spirit, powerfully baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then God says to Philip, rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. So a really significant man. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship, so obviously a God-fearing man, and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, as you do. I could never understand, actually, a bit of an aside, I can't understand anybody who can sit in a car and read, you know, as a passenger. Is anybody here who reads while they're driving? Do you? Well, so I couldn't do it. I've travelled from car sickness. Anyway, so he's in his chariot, obviously not suffering from car sickness like I do, and he's on his way home, and he's reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. You know, if we want to be a people of influence, we need to learn to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. Where is he calling us to go? It may seem insignificant, but the Holy Spirit said to him, go over to that chariot. And Philip went. He ran over to him, it says here, and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then Philip goes through the passage with him and explains to this eunuch about Jesus. And they get to a pool of water and he's baptized. Amazing story, because Philip said yes to that whisper when God said, go. Now, Philip wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an apostle. In Acts 6, you can read it later, we're told that he was set apart by six others to serve at the table. He was on their refreshments team. He was on their hospitality team. That's who Philip was. He wasn't an apostle, and yet he had come under the influence of the apostles and had obviously learnt. He had obviously learnt from them. So a key question for us to consider, next slide please, is who or what is influencing us? Who or what are we allowing to impact our lives? What are we listening to? What are we watching? What are we reading? Where are our boundaries? You see, we have responsibility for one thing, and that's ourselves. The greatest influence, rather, we have will be on ourselves. So what are we allowing in? Because what we allow in will impact what comes out. You know, if I eat nothing but McDonald's, I'm not going to be very healthy. So what we allow in greatly impacts what flows out of us. Now, what I'm not saying is that we live in a Christian bubble, because that is completely and utterly wrong. We need to be out in the world, but we need to be out in the world as pure and holy people, set apart. We need to filter what we allow to influence us so that what comes out of us is the right thing. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we read, "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He has called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world." We are called to be pure and holy, so we broadcast God to the world. So back to Philip. He'd been influenced by the apostles. He then took that out into a foreign environment, into a different environment for where he had been, somewhere the apostles hadn't actually been. They didn't have an encounter with that eunuch, but Philip did. And he had an impact then, not on just the life of that eunuch, but that eunuch then went back to Ethiopia and planted the church in Ethiopia. A little seed can have a huge impact. Now, some of us in this room will be called to influence multitudes, but everyone in this room is called to influence ones and twos. And ones and twos. I love that story of the boy on the beach with the starfish. I'm sure you've all heard it. And there's this little boy. Has anybody not heard it? Okay. Story of the starfish on the beach. So there's this little boy and he's walking along the beach. And there's been a high tide and loads of starfish have been washed up on the beach. And so the little boy's walking along the beach and he's picking up a starfish at a time and he's throwing it back into the sea. And there's this older, wiser man looking at the little boy and he walks up to him and he says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm throwing the starfish back in the sea." And the beach is covered in starfish. And the wise old man says to the little boy, "But you're not making a huge amount of difference, are you? Because look at all of these starfish. You will never get them all back into the sea before they die because they're going to shrivel up in the sun." And the little boy turns to me and says, throws another one in, "But I made a difference to that one." Then throws another one in, "But I made a difference to that one." So in the insignificant seemingly things, we can make a huge difference if we choose to influence in the way God's asking us to influence. So what impact are we having? Can I have the next slide, please, Peter? So when we say yes to Jesus and we give him the lordship of our life, his mission becomes our mission. And his heart has to become our heart. In Luke 11:19, we read this. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, not to condemn and criticize those who weren't living the right way." He came to seek and to save the lost. Therefore, as believers, we have the same mandate. That's what God has called us to do. We know the last words that Jesus said to his disciples before he was taken up into heaven are the words that are known as the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age." Jesus didn't say to them, "Now make sure you have a meeting to change the color of the curtains and to get the color of the carpet right." He didn't say, "Make sure you have a meeting to make sure your program's all in order." He said, "Go." He said, "Go and make disciples. Go and be an influence. Go and share your life with other peoples. Go and show them what I've done for you." We all have a story of what God has done for us. We all have a story of what God has done for us. Jesus was calling his church to be a body of believers, and he is calling us to be a church who are a body of believers and of influencers. Jesus was telling his church to go into the world and make a difference for him. And he's calling us to do the same. When I was growing up in church, I've been part of church all my life. Yeah, that's probably enough to say about that for the minute. And in my early years, I believed that the thing I needed to do was just to make sure I was okay. To make sure I was okay. It was very much a culture of self-works, I guess. So I just had to be the best little girl that I could possibly be. And that was it. That's all I thought it was. And as I got a bit older, I thought, actually, if I bring God into a conversation somehow, like just mention I go to church on a Sunday, I'm doing the right thing. I didn't realize I was meant to have an influence. I was meant to make a difference. But one thing I know about this church is we are full of people who want to make a difference and who want to be influencers. We want to be influencers in our workplaces and in our marriages, in our friendships and in our communities. Because when we partner with God, he positions us where he wants us to be. It's no coincidence that you're working where you're working. It's no coincidence that you're living where you're living. God brought you there to have an influence for him. When Andy and I first got married, we decided to move to Billericay. We thought it was our plan, because actually it was a much better commute to London. That's what brought us to Billericay, supposedly. So we thought. We had no other intentions other than living our lives and having a good home and a good friendship circle. And you're going to a nice church on a Sunday and a good place to bring up our kids. Honestly, that was our mandate when we got married. But God doesn't waste anything. And he certainly didn't waste us moving to Billericay. Never, ever think that God won't use you where he has placed you. You know, in church in the past, and I think less so now, there, unless you made it to the platform, praise God, we don't preach from the platform in this place, because there is no platform, actually. But some people, you think that just that was the ultimate. If you made it to the platform, you'd made it. You know, that's not true. That's not kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God. Jesus said this, in John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. Now think of yourselves as a hose pipe. Okay, a hose pipe connected to heaven, streams of living water flowing out of you, leaking, the right kind of leaking, I have to say, but leaking into the community. You're meant to leak Jesus wherever you go. We've got this amazing banner that we have up every Sunday morning. We probably get a bit familiar with it, but that's the strap line God gave Andy when we were praying about the church. Living in the flow of God's love and power. It's not meant to stop with us. It's meant to flow out of us, into our families, into our communities, so that we are an influence for him. That passage in John is, if we look back in Ezekiel 37, that Ezekiel passage is mirrored in what Jesus said in streams of living water. Now, the Ezekiel 37 passage is the prophetic vision that God gave Ezekiel of the water flowing out from under the door of the temple. And the further from the temple that Ezekiel got, the deeper the water got. So the water signifies the presence of God. And the further he got from the temple, the deeper the water got. It was a trickle coming out from the temple. The deeper it got, the further he went. And in verse 8 of Ezekiel 37, it says this, "And he said to me, 'This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. And when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river flows, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes.'" We are meant to be that river flowing with God's love and power bringing life wherever we go, wherever we go. What we encounter on a Sunday morning, ladies and gentlemen, should be the shallow end. The encounters God leads us to out there are the deep end. And so often we get that wrong. We think this is the place. Now I want to encounter God in this place, you know, absolutely every Sunday. But if this is all it is, if this is all it is, it's just a club. I'm sorry. It's just a club. We are not here for the benefit of us. A church should be the only place, I know it's been said before, but it is quite cool. A church is the only place that is not for the benefit of its members. It's for the benefit of everybody else, of everybody else. Years ago, before we planted the church, Jane Andrews had a vision from God. Now, she was involved in schools ministry in Billericay at the time. And she was praying, and we were actually at Faith Camp, I think. I didn't know about the picture till years later. But she had this picture of an artesian well. An artesian well is a huge, like, gush of water that comes up. So it's where water's under pressure underground, and suddenly the water will gush up. So she had this picture of this artesian well, of the water gushing up, and it was actually gushing up, just trying to get my bearings, from the sixth form common room. This water was gushing up, and as it gushed up, the water then crowned, so kind of hit the ground. And as it hit the ground here. And it turned into people running out of here. But she said they were running out with such joy and excitement on their faces. She knew they were running out to go into the town. Now, Jane thought that picture was about schools ministry in Billericay and about what was going to happen in this place. That was years before we even planted the church here. So when we then started to meet here, because we hadn't met here, we used to meet in the Rising Sun pub. When we started to meet here and we went to see the sixth form common room, which is where we used to meet before we came in here, Jane remembered that prophetic picture, vision that she'd had. And we know that it's what God's going to be doing in this place. Of people going out to be an influence into our town. And it's already happening. It's already happening. I know the atmosphere is shifting in our town because of what's happening with schools pastors, with SMB, with street pastors, with football pastors, with the stuff that's happening with the SCAR, with the spa, with Costa Coffee, the healing rooms. That's just been an open door. It's just been an open door. It's been amazing. God is calling us to be a people of influence, of influence. Now, we all have spheres of influence that nobody else has. Our lives impact other people that nobody else's lives will impact. So whatever the day job is, or whatever your family situation is, whether you're in IT, whether you're in engineering, whether you're still in education, whether you're in local government, whatever your role, God can use you to bring an influence. The greatest influence we have will be in our families. And that's the hardest place to be an influence, because people see the good, but they also see the not so good. Some of you may have been here when we had Dan and Norrie Chesney come to speak. And they did a family conference quite some years ago now. And we took them out for lunch after the Sunday meeting. And Sarah happened to be home from uni at the time. So she was late teens, early 20s probably. And we were sitting having lunch. And Dan turned to Sarah and said, "So, you know, you're a pastor's kid, and often pastor's kids go through a real rebellion kind of thing, you know, turning away from God. But, you know, you're obviously, you know, fully in love with Jesus. So, you know, what was it about your parents?" And, you know, you just think, "I think I need to go to the toilet right now." And Sarah kind of grinned, and she went, "Actually," she said, "the thing about mum and dad She said, I saw them at church, and this was not here, this was in a previous church. I saw them at church when we were involved in youth work, probably with Pete. And I saw them at home, and I didn't see any difference. And I thought, wow. And I, you know, there were differences some days. Believe me, there were. But actually what had struck her was it wasn't a mask on a Sunday. There was a reality on a Sunday that was a reality in her home. And that's a challenge for all of us, because it's easy in a nice atmosphere here to be good, actually. But when we have some of the rubbish stuff that hits at home within our families, that's hard. That's hard. But God will grace us to be that influence. Can I have the next slide, please? God's been speaking to us for about a year now about being a lighthouse. Andy and I went away for 36 hours retreat up to Southwold after the church day out last year, actually. And God spoke to us really strongly about there's a not that lighthouse, but there is a lighthouse at Southwold. And some of you may remember a few weeks ago when Tim Eldridge was here. He had a prophetic word for us about being a lighthouse, the church being a lighthouse. Steve had during pre-service prayer about a month ago now, ask God if there was an angel over the church. Am I? Yeah, I've got this right, Steve. And God said, yes, the angel's name is Beacon. That's a beacon. That's a beacon. And I haven't got enough time this morning to unpack the significance of a lighthouse, but a lighthouse is an influence on the landscape where it is. Because what a lighthouse does is it warns people of treacherous seas and imminent death. That's what a lighthouse does. It's there in places of danger and peril to warn people. And I believe God is calling us increasingly as a church, particularly when you look around what is happening in our nation and the world. We are living in difficult days. We are living in difficult days, and God is calling us to be an influence for him. He is calling us to be like a lighthouse. Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Good deeds. Good deeds. Acts of love. Acts of kindness. Acts of compassion. We were street pastoring on Friday night. And we just got chatting to this couple. And it was a older lady, she's probably younger than me, but you know, still, you know, not a young woman, put it like that, not a teenager or early 20s. And she had a pair of Street Pastor flip-flops on, and her husband partner was saying, do you know what, it just blew me away the other week when she ended up with a pair of your flip-flops. I'm thinking, it's a pair of flip-flops. But he was just like, I can't believe you guys do this. This is so great. You know, I'd never come across you before. What an amazing bunch of people you are. Now, this is the whole team he's talking about. But it was a pair of flip-flops. It was not, you know, anything significant, really. But it was hugely significant, because in the midst of a selfish, self-centered world that said, we are prepared to sacrifice sleep. We are prepared to come out for no pay and serve our community. It speaks volumes. Don't ever underestimate the little things that you do. Big doors swing on little hinges. We can have huge openings into places by the little things that we do. I make declarations over my life frequently. And one of the declarations that I made, and some of you, if you've got any of Steve Backlin's declarations, will know this one. And it's simply this: I will positively impact every location, every meeting, and every person I encounter today. I will positively impact every location, every meeting, and every person I encounter today. And God honors that. Do I feel like that in the mornings when I say it? Absolutely not. I'm probably not. I don't want to meet anybody today. And I certainly don't want to go into any difficult meetings today. But actually, that's the very day I need to say those things to encourage myself and to release something into my life. God wants us to be kingdom influencers. Wherever we go, whoever we are with, whatever situation we find ourselves in. The clock is ticking and I need to finish. I talked about that lighthouse being something that is an influence to warn people of imminent death. God is going to be using us, I believe, increasingly to sow the good news of Jesus into our community, into our friends. The enemy knows that when we partner with God, our influence will have impact for the kingdom. So where is the enemy trying to invade your influence and space to make you believe that actually what you're doing is a waste of time? Where is he causing those doubts in your mind? Where are there areas of compromise that are dulling our light? If that lighthouse at night, the light didn't go on, it would still be the same lighthouse, it would still be the same size in the same location, but it would do diddly squat in warning anybody about the rocks. We're not to put our light in an insignificant place. If you have a light and you put it under a basket, Jesus said, it's not going to shine, is it? But equally, if you've got a light, struck me this morning, if I have a lamp and I put it on the floor, it's not going to shed a lot of light. But if I've got a lamp on a stand or a ceiling light, then that is going to have an impact in lighting the room. God's calling us higher. He's calling us to lives of purity so that we shine for him in the places where he has put us. God is going to be placing each one of us, I believe, increasingly in strategic places. Or he's already placed us in those strategic places, but we just haven't realized it yet because we don't think it's the place that we think it should be. I'm going to pray for us because I find this hugely, hugely challenging. Maybe you don't, but I certainly do. So if you believe there are areas in your life where God wants you to be a greater influence than you're already being for him, I just invite you to stand and I'm going to pray for us. Father God, we've just been so overwhelmed this morning in worship and as we took communion of your unconditional love for us. And it doesn't make sense when we look at what you've done for us. But you thought we were worth it and I thank you for that. And God, we want to be a people like a light in a significant place that shines for you. And I pray for each one of us, Lord God, that you would show us those areas where you want us to bring even greater influence for you, whether that's in our families, with our friends, in our workplaces, in our schools, in what we spend our time doing. God, to influence for you, whether it is saying yes to getting trained for the healing rooms, whether it is saying yes to volunteering for something where there's an opportunity to bring light and life. God, I pray that you would challenge our hearts this morning. We don't want to be like lighthouses that are not switched on. Would you equip us and enable us, I pray, for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom, that men and women could be saved from the destiny that they are heading to. Holy Spirit, would you do a work in our lives? And where we think we are insignificant, I want to pray, Father God, that like that dandelion seed, you would show us that there is life, there is potential, that we have the potential to seed and to grow your kingdom for your glory. Amen. Amen.